Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. The one topic on the minds of all of us is the coronavirus, COVID-19. In one way or another, it has affected every man, woman, and child in the United States and millions more around the world. Right now, we're in the middle of the crisis, and no one knows how it will turn out. But today, Pastor Wayne has a message of hope, that God can turn darkness to light and bring beauty from ashes. Stay tuned. Coming up in a moment, a message from Pastor Wayne.
Jesus didn't come into a cushy world, did he? He came into a mob scene. He came into a crisis. I was wondering, why didn't Jesus come into the world when it was the internet age? Why he could have sent his message around the world in seconds. Instead, he came at a time when the quickest way to deliver a message was by a fast donkey. Jesus didn't come when the world was nice and cozy. He came into the midst of a mob scene. It was during a political upheaval. God brought his message right in the middle of the Roman occupation when the Jews were at odds with the pagan society of Rome. And when he was born, his parents were refused lodging. He came when Herod was killing all the Jewish males under the age of 2. But it was in the midst of this crisis and fear that God decides to deliver the greatest message the world has ever seen, a message of hope and a message of redemption. But that's the way of God, isn't it? That's his MO. That's the DNA of God. It's to bring something good out of chaos, light into darkness. Why, even creation itself was born out of chaos. The Bible tells us that in the beginning of creation, things were a mess. And if we rewind the Bible back to the beginning, we find these words. It says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the deep. But God wasn't done yet. It says, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. You see, even in the chaos, his Spirit is moving in ways that we cannot understand. Because right there, God said, let there be light. And aha, now things make sense. But before that, only chaos. Even during this COVID-19 crisis, I want to declare to you that the Spirit of God is still moving. Now, most of us won't recognize him moving, but the truth be told, we're hardly ever able to see his hand and purposes in advance of a chaos. You only see it in reverse after it's all done. But please remember, faith is living in advance what you will only understand in reverse. But Isaiah 61:3 promises that God is able to bring beauty for ashes. We're living in unprecedented times, aren't we? Some businesses and lives are untouched during this crisis. Others, they'll struggle a little bit, but they'll be fine. But others are in the kill zone of the blast. I mean, restaurants or schools, tourism, have the brunt of the detonation. Now, this must be no ordinary virus for the U.S. to be calling to inject $1 trillion to stopping the potential spread and helping those who've been affected. They're risking bankrupting thousands of businesses or maybe even cities. Large events that were planned for years have been canceled in unprecedented ways. Something beyond what we know must be taking place. So we got to trust Jesus. So no matter what one thinks of the government or who started it, we've got to trust God. I mean, we have no other choice. There's an interesting story in John 19 and verse 11 when Pontius Pilate was getting ready to crucify Jesus and he was interrogating the Lord. And Jesus wouldn't answer him. And Pontius Pilate said to Jesus in a condescending way, "You don't answer me? Don't you know that I have the power to free you or crucify you?" Do you remember what Jesus said? Something very profound that we need to hear as a word for us. He said to Pontius Pilate, and he said to the Roman government, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." You see, to some, the government was completely unjust in those days. But Jesus saw something beyond the government, far greater. There was a larger plan at work. I mean, if I were there, I wouldn't be able to see it either. But his words would have brought me relief, that you'd have no power over me if my Father had not already granted it to you. I want to say to you that his word is the same today. Can we see the outcome? No, not according to our paradigm and perspective. It's just simply totally chaos. You know, back in 1527, during the Reformation, there was a deadly bubonic plague that was ripping through Wittenberg, Germany, the hometown of Martin Luther. Everyone was scampering, running into the hills, getting away from everybody. And so someone asked him, "What should we as Christians do?" And in a letter to a friend, we find faith mixed with good sense. He said, "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I will fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed. However, if my neighbor needs me, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I will have done what he's expected of me. I see this as a God-fearing faith because it's neither brash nor foolhardy." Sounds like that letter could have been written today, huh? It's good sense for us too. You know, you never see the beauty or the purpose of God going into a crisis. It's the way that we respond. It's the condition of our souls that'll be determined by our response to it. And so we've got to change the way we look at things. So the question I ask myself is this: how can I make something good out of this chaos? That's what God's going to be doing, right? Beauty for ashes. So where do we start? We start with this. Lead yourself with questions like this. How do I become a more creative person because of this? Or how can I train my eyes to see things into a higher state rather than to a lower, be filled and held hostage by fear? Or what resources do I have that are accessible to me? Or a question like, how can I make myself better during this season that seems so chaotic? You know, some of us need to kind of like in a surfer's parlance to paddle hard to get on in front of the wave because we were all kind of caught off guard and we're behind the wave and we just got to catch up and get on the front of it. If not, we'll be held hostage to its force. Or if we can get on the front of it, we can use it. By the way, the good news is that events or circumstances don't determine your destiny. God does. The environment you're in right now, or what the news says, or what the state of our country is in, they cannot keep you from your eternal purpose. Sure, you and I have to make some adjustments. And some are going to be more quickly made than others, but the first adjustment has to be our eyes. Isn't that right? How we see things. Because that's what determines how we respond to things. God is already divinely considered, and God has already taken into account every detail of your life, every bad break, every negative event, how you were raised or what somebody did. He's factored all of that into his plan. Nothing takes him by surprise. And if you'll stay in step with him instead of this holding you back, everything we go through can propel us forward. Instead of defeating us, it'll make us stronger. God knows how to take what was meant for your harm and use it for your good. Remember the story of Joseph in Genesis 50? He wrestled through a painful season. His family was fractured, his brothers hated him, his heart was rubbed raw against the rocks of jealousy, misunderstanding, and injustice. And yet God redeemed it all. I don't think Joseph could have seen God's plan in the beginning with all of the chaos. Light had not been shown through it yet. But on the other side, his torn, blood-stained robe would be exchanged for a royal one. And the pit would become a palace, and his family that was broken, they would become the patriarchs of our faith. The very acts that were meant to destroy God's servant instead became the very thing that strengthened him. And Genesis 50 and verse 20 says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done in the saving of many lives." I want to suggest that though through our faith, God through us can turn the tables on the enemy. Remember, we have the DNA of God in every single one of us, and He always turns the tables. And that should be our tendency too. That should be the bent that's inherent in each of us in our response, because God's DNA is in us. That's His MO, and it's ours too. So the question is, how can we make something good out of this? You may not see how it could ever turn out for good now, but you have the most powerful force in the universe on your side. God created us to rise above, to break chains, and to be more than overcomers. You may think the circumstance will detonate you into a pile of scrap metal, but instead, you're God's masterpiece. The good news is that viruses or economic peril or governments don't determine your destiny. Only God does. And He is still on the throne. The circumstances we're in now cannot keep us from God's purposes being fulfilled in our life. No. Remember, this crisis didn't take God by surprise. God has already taken this into account in His eternal plan for you and for me. And if we'll stay strong in faith, He can cause this situation to propel us forward and not hold us back. And instead of this defeating me, I'm committed to it making me stronger. Because what was meant for harm, God will use for my good. So when you're in the middle of chaos or going into it, remember these things. First of all, God is still on the throne. No matter what it looks like, we have to say God is still on the throne. He's in control of Pontius Pilate. He'd have no authority unless it were given to him from above. God's still on the throne. And secondly, remember this, nothing will keep you from God's purposes for your life. Now, He's taken everything into account. He's factored everything in, and nothing takes God by surprise. No, nothing can keep you from His purposes. Even a crisis, you keep pressing through. God has a plan, and He has a purpose. And third, remember this, make something good out of this. It is what it is. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. So turn the tables. That's His DNA in you and in me. That's His MO, and He's doing that. So that tendency should be inherent in us too. We got to make something good out of this. And by the way, let's cooperate with Him with every fiber in our being. Ask yourself questions like, how will this compel me to be more creative? I gotta be. It is what it is. So I gotta get more creative, God. Please help me. And if I'm spending more time at home, God, let's get our family together. That's what you're saying. That's your message in the middle of the chaos, isn't it? Let's figure out how to be resourceful. That's His message. At New Hope Christian College, we had to be instantly more creative in filming and delivering things online, like it happened today. Yeah, we didn't have a ramp up. And by the way, look for resources that might be available to you. For example, the government is looking to inject a boatload of money into this effort to help people more than ever before. So find out what's available for your business. Be that lady in the New Testament who kept knocking and asking until she got what she needed. And God even commended her for her insistence. In other words, just make something good out of this. He is working through you and through me. Make it count. For many, the price or the cost of this class of hard knocks this season, the price might be pretty expensive. But you know what's even more criminal? Is if we go through this class, pay the price, and we learn nothing from it. Or worse yet, we're no better off after it's done. Make something good out of it. That's what God is doing. He's giving us beauty for ashes. Watch for Him. He's the God who gives beauty for ashes. Cooperate with His Spirit. His Spirit is hovering just above the chaos. He's there in the midst of the mess. But don't just look at the mess. You'll miss His message. Look through the mess. You'll see what He's doing. He's moving. You'll hear His message when you're able to look beyond the mess, through the mess. And then when you do, you just might see what He's been trying to communicate to us all along, to our nation, to our families, to the church. He's speaking. He's got our attention. It's a megaphone. Let's listen. I want to end with an illustration. It's a fictitious one, but I think it holds a profound lesson. Airplanes fly usually at around 32,000 feet, and let's say you and many others are in an airplane going from one location to another. Everything is fine. You're having great in-flight service, but all of a sudden you hear the engine coughing. You hear it starting to skip, and then all of a sudden you hear it die, and you just hear the airplane starting to take a swoop downwards. All of a sudden, everything goes into fast forward. People's hair on top of the ceiling, and everyone is all of a sudden praying, some for the first time. And everyone's making covenants and deals with God. I'll quit cussing. I'll quit drinking. I'll quit everything, whatever, Lord, just save me. And everyone is praying in earnest, confessing sins. They're cleaning their hearts out, and this plane is diving to the ground, and they're getting their life right. They're promising God that they'll listen, that they'll do whatever God wants them to do. But let's say as it dives towards the ground, it's getting closer and closer, and the pilot's pulling back on the levers, and all of a sudden the engines begin to cough back to life. And all of a sudden you feel a surge, and pretty soon that plane's belly is just scraping the ground, 3 feet above the ground. And then it starts to gain power. And after what seems like an eternity, it's back at 32,000 feet. Everyone's wiping their brow going, whew. You know, that's at that precise moment where we often forget the deals we made with God at 3 feet when we get back to 32,000 feet. But God is saying to us, you're going to hear my voice. You're going to hear my message. And I'm going to speak to you. But sometimes the best time to speak where you and I will hear, it's not at 32,000 feet. It's at 3 feet. And that's when our hearts are filleted before God. And He sees everything and we see everything. And we begin to understand what's eternal, what's most important. And then God reminds us. He says, and when you're back at 32,000 feet, don't forget what I said at 3, because that's what's most eternal and that's what's most important. God's gotten our attention and He's speaking about your family, about your life, about your faith and your trust perspective. What's His message to you? Hear it when you're at 3 feet, so that when we're back at 32,000, we'll be a people of God who understand what it means for God to give us beauty for ashes. I hope you enjoyed the message, and maybe God has spoken to you about His word to you in this season. But if you've never opened your heart to Jesus, can I encourage you to do so? The Bible says that that's going to be the most eternal decision that you'll ever make. It's opening your heart to Christ, because without Him, we can't get it together. We don't even have the eyes to see until He opens them for us, and it requires His presence within us. But God will never force Himself on you. God's a gentleman. He'll knock at the door of your heart, but you're the one that has to open it. And when you do and you say, Lord, would you come into my life? Would you change me and make me the person you want to be? Then He begins to move, because He wants it to be a commission, a partnership, a cooperation, not necessarily someone just simply barging in. And Jesus isn't a religion. He's not a philosophy. He's not an ethic. Those are fine. But Jesus is a person, the Creator who made you and loves you and knows what your future holds. And He wants to guide you into His best. You might say, well, I'm 1,000 miles away from God right now. You might be. But you know, God loves us so much that He's going to cover the distance and take every step to close the gap to you. He'll close the whole gap except the last step of it. That's your step, the step you need to take to simply say, Lord, would you come into my heart? If that's your desire, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I want you to pray that with me right where you are, everywhere and anywhere. He'll hear. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming to this earth and that you have found me. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I turn away from my sins and I turn to you. Change me and make me the person you want me to be. And now I say this so everyone can hear, and so you can hear me, and so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's the cry of our heart. And I ask, Lord, that you would move in people's lives in the midst of the chaos and bring light out of darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you made that decision, respond right there on your screen. Let us know. We'd love to send you some things that'll help you so much in your first few steps with Christ. Again, God bless you from all of us here at New Hope. And if there's anything you need, let us know. We want to do life together. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this special message from Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Now, here's a closing thought from Pastor Wayne.
As high as the heavens are above the earth, he says, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. God is not done yet. He's still on the throne. We may not be able to see his hand, but I know for sure, in the end, we can trust his heart.